contains nothing that is doubtful or crooked. It is absolutely straight and authority and nur for the believers. Abundant and perfect salutation be upon Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person who is the best of all creation, whose nur illuminated the hearts of the living, and the graves after death, whose appearance was a bounty for the whole universe. Peace be upon his descendants and companions, who are the stars of guidance and the propagators of the Holy Quran Sharif, and also upon those believers who are the followers in faith. After this praise and salutation, I, the author, the Shaykh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, the son of Yahya, son of Ismail, Rahimahumullah Ta'ala, said that these hurriedly written pages contain 40 ahadith, that is the sayings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which I have compiled on virtue of the Holy Quran Sharif, in obedience to such people whose words are law for me, and following whom is most valuable to me. One of the special favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which have always descended upon the higher madrasa of Mazahir Ulum Saharanpur, has been the annual gathering of this madrasa for the purpose of briefly mentioning the progress of the institution. For this gathering at the madrasa, not much effort is made to collect speakers, preachers and the famous people of India, but more attention is paid to invite men whose hearts are full of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mashayikh who prefer to live unknown. Although those days have receded in the past in Hujjatul Islam, Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Alayh and Qutbul Irshad Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahimahullah Ta'ala used to honor this gathering with their presence and illuminate the hearts of all who attended. And the scene has not yet disappeared from the eyes when the spiritual descendants of those revivalists of Islam, Hazrat Shaykh ul Hind, Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim, Hazrat Mawlana Khadir Ahmad Saharanpuri, and Hazrat Mawlana Ash-Shabi Thani Rahimahumullah Ta'ala used to assemble at the annual gathering of the madrasa. The presence was a fountain source of life and light for deadened souls, and quenched the thirst of those who sought divine love. At present, though the annual gatherings do not have the illuminations of even such sources of guidance, their true spiritual descendants still honor these gatherings with their presence and enrich the audience with bounties and blessings. Only those who possess eyes that see can experience the effulgence, but sightless beings like us can also feel something unusual. At the annual gathering of this madrasa, if a person comes to listen to polished speeches and forceful lectures, he will perhaps not return so much happy as one who seeks a balm for his heart. All praise supplication is for Allah. In the same connection, during this year, on the 27th Zulqa'dah, 1348, Hazrat Shah Hafiz Muhammad Yasin Naginwi Rahimahullah Ta'ala visited the madrasa. His coming was like a shower of affection and kindness, and I cannot adequately thank him for this. After knowing about him that he is one of the spiritual heirs of Hazrat Gangohi Rahimahullah Ta'ala, there is no need of mentioning his fine qualities of devotion and piety, and the presence of Anwar in his own person. When this gathering was over, he returned home and honored me with a kind letter asking me to compile 40 ahadith regarding the virtues of the Quran Sharif and send them to him along with their translations. He also wrote to me that if I did not carry out his wishes, he would ask the successor to my sheikh, teacher and elderly uncle, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, to confirm this order of his. He made it certain that he wanted me to do this job. Incidentally, I received that honored message when I was out traveling and my uncle was present at Saharanpur. On my return, my uncle gave this letter to me along with his own firm orders for compliance. Now, there was no occasion for me for any excuse or to plead lack of ability. Although my occupation with the commentary of Mu'atta Imam Malik Rahimahullah was a good excuse, I had to postpone that work for a few days, and in compliance with the urgent orders, produce my effort for his esteemed consideration. I beg to be excused for such shortcomings as are inevitable because of my incompetence. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Adab al-Mu'asharat, social etiquette. Number one, if a fly has to fall in one's gravy, then he should dip the whole insect into it and then throw it away. Thereafter, if he wishes, he may eat it. The reason is that in one wing of the fly is illness, whilst in the other wing there is cure. The fly always places the wing which contains the illness in the food first. By placing the other side in the food, the illness is neutralized. Number two, recite Bismillah before eating. Eat with the right hand and eat from the side of the dish which is closest to you. However, if there is a variety of foodstuff in one utensil, example different types of fruit, then one may eat whatever one desires from whichever side of the utensil. Number three, eat utilizing three fingers in that food wherein one is not compelled to use all his fingers. Lick the fingers. If the gravy is finished in the utensil, then clean out the utensil. There are blessings in this. Number four, if a morsel falls from the hand, then lift it up, clean it, and then consume it. Do not show an attitude of pride. This is a royal bounty. Every person is not favored likewise. Number five, eat while sitting with humility. Do not lean and eat like proud people. And number six, if the food is less and there are many people, then all should not eat to full. It should not be that some eat to satiation, whilst the others remain starved. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Firstly, by way of that what was read in the etiquette, adab of Mu'asharat, the first point about a fly falling in one's gravy, etc., this is not compulsory. This is for those people who are poor, who cannot afford to throw away that food, that plate of food. And for those people who don't take offense to it. But if a person's nature is such that he cannot, and he can afford also that he doesn't eat it, then that is different. If the fly falls in your tea, in your milk, in your food, etc., then the explanation which is given, which is also now scientifically proven, that the fly falls in with the wing that has got disease in it, and the other wing has got the antidote for it, the cure for it. So by dipping it, and so this is not compulsory that a person must do it. And so if a person cannot afford, and then he uses that, the solution has been given for such people. Quite a few friends, may Allah Ta'ala reward them, have asked what we should do in order to benefit fully from our time. Maximum benefit, how can we take? So I told all of them that is what the talks are all about, that how we can benefit from this month of Ramadan and get the maximum benefits. So the first most important point is niyat, intention. We should make our niyat very clearly. And in niyat, there are quite a few points which we will discuss. Firstly, it must be ikhlas, only for Allah's pleasure. A person can make niyat that I'm doing things for show. That is also called niyat. But of course, that is a batil, a wrong niyat. And to do it, ikhlas, only for Allah's pleasure. So whatever ibadat we do, our coming year, those who are actually sitting in i'tikaf, whatever we are with tilawat, our zikr, everything we do must be only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. وَمَا أُمِرُوا, and Allah says they had not been ordered, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, but that they worship Allah Ta'ala, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, that they make their deen, everything solely, only for Allah Ta'ala. And we have to endeavor to reach that level of ikhlas, of sincerity, which the Quran Sharif speaks about, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that my namaz, all my ibadat, my living, my dying is all for, only for Allah Ta'ala. In other words, every moment of my life, every aspect of my life, This is where we have to endeavor and reach to. One person who was a journalist, and he was very bi-takalluf, very informal. What Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, once came to Hazrat and said, I'm in a hurry, I'm on my way somewhere, I'm just leaving this question with you, and I'm giving you 2 weeks to prepare the answer. When I come back, then you give me the answer to it. And he said, what was his question? That what? Musibat, what big problem is this tasawwuf? What out of the world thing is this tasawwuf? So Hazrat told him, I don't need 2 weeks for that answer, take the answer now. While you are going, the answer I will give it to you. That the starting point of tasawwuf is ikhlas. That we develop in ourselves, that we do everything for Allah Ta'ala. And the end, the last final point of tasawwuf is ihsan. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. That you develop that quality, that when you make Allah's ibadat, it is as though you are seeing Allah Ta'ala. And if you cannot see Allah Ta'ala, then know that Allah is seeing you, watching you. Yeah, this is an interesting point that you have to add. It's not, which shows that that highest level of tasawwuf is not difficult. To make Allah's ibadat as though you are seeing Him. The word, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ. كَأَنَّكَ, that as though. Just like, to understand this, in another place in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, if there's bad blood between people, fights are carrying on, then in order to make it good blood, that you maintain your good relations, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, that always return to that person. He does bad to you, you do good to him. He does good to you, you do better to him. In that way, bad blood will also get changed into good blood. Friendship will come. And then the Quran says that when you will do that, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He won't be really your bosom friend, but he'll be like your bosom. When you treat him well every time, whatever bad he does to you, you do good in return. And this is everywhere. Not only ordinary people, even with husband and wife. If one of the two, we get these complaints continuously. The wife is not being good, the husband is not being good. In return, the solution to it is that idfa billati hiya ahsan. That the Quran has given the solution, and there is no discussion further whether it's a right solution or whether it works or not. It's Allah's solution, our creator, our maker, who knows all our future. Before we were born, Allah knew what is going to happen in our life. And Allah gave us all those solutions. But it is for us to use those solutions. Not for us to think whether it's going to work for me or not. That is also one thing which many of us, we have this weakness. We come with a problem, and whatever solution is given, we've got a counter answer to that. That this won't work. This I know it won't work. One time, to understand that point, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he started the work of Tabligh and Dawat, he sent Jamaats for 3 days. He made Tashkil, get Jamaats ready to go out for 3 days. By Abdul Wahab Sahib, Damat Barakatum, who is there till today, he told Maulana, people are not prepared to go for one gasht. You are talking of 3 days. So Maulana replied, he said, the answer to this is not like this. What I tell you to do, you implement it. When you get a problem, you come back to me with the problem. Not that before you implement it, you're already taking out shosha, you're taking out points, that I don't think it will work, I don't think it's practical. No, he said, that is not the correct approach. You implement it, you make your effort. When you have a problem, you come back to me, Maulana, this is not working. Now what must we do? So like that, whatever Allah has commanded us, our duty is to implement it, not to use our brains and our minds and our intellect. I don't think this will work. I don't think this is practical. I don't think this can bring results. No, we must implement it. When you have a problem, you come with your problem after that. So whenever there is these arguments and fight, what the other person is doing, idfa billati hiya ahsan. You counteract it with a thing which is a better thing. which is best. That person swears you, you smile at him. It's famous about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Regularly he was sending a big dish of mitai, sweet meats, to a certain person. That person was his adversary, his enemy, and always he used to swear, speak bad, make ghibat about Imam Abu Hanifa. In return, he sent sweet meats to the person. After some time, that person changed. He realized. And also don't expect results immediately. Results will take their time. Like, for example, many people, especially young people, even married people, have this problem of excessive lust in their body. They have that lust. So the solution that has been given in the hadith is keep roza. But then many of them come back, we kept roza, so our lust even increased. So this roza keeping is not 1 or 2 days roza. It is for a long period, then that lust will break. The desires which are in a person, they're not going to break in 1 or 2 rozas. So that is a continuously, then weakness will come in your body and your lust will break. So this is what is required. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, when he stopped, it was a long period. It wasn't just a day or two. We say that I did good to the wife, I did good to the husband, but still they treated not once or twice. And many of us also, we tell them make sabr, they ask till when must we make sabr? Sabr is till mort. Till then you must make sabr. And sabr is not a matter of a few minutes or a few hours or a few days that you make sabr. And especially for men, our shoulders must be broad. We like to call and think ourselves as men. One great quality of man is that, for example, remember from where I'm going off again, going all in different directions. But like, for example, one time a person heard that there are droughts in Baghdad in the time of the king Harun al-Rashid. He was a villager who lives in a village far away, 6 months' journey in those days by camel or donkey or horse or whatever. So he filled water in 2 earthen pots, matkas, earthen pots, clay pots, and he came with it to bring to the king to present him water, 2 earthen pots of water, because there are droughts here. Our king is suffering, he hasn't got water to drink, fresh water. So after 6 months, what will the condition of that water be? Can anyone even imagine how that water will be? But this point I want to make, the king was a king. He did not look at the condition of the water, he looked at his sentiments. That this man came from a 6 months journey to bring this water to me. He respected and honored him very greatly, put him up in the royal guest house, and entertained him accordingly. And when he sent him back again, he gave him great gifts also. And he told his minister, when you see him off, see him out of the city of Baghdad, and let him pass by the rivers of the Euphrates and the Tigris, the 2 famous rivers of Baghdad, which these are amongst the rivers of Jannat which are in this world. So let him pass by there and see how much water he got. So this is who a king is. You don't look at the thing, what that person, but the sentiments. So a husband also, a man, you call yourself, I'm the man of the house, I'm the husband, so keep your heart big also. Tolerate all this. Don't stomach it. And most of the men got big stomachs also. So you got enough place to stomach it also. So don't just become angry all the time and for tit for tat, too. That she will tell you something, you tell something in reply. No, that must not be the case. Tolerate it. And remember also, you got the hand by which you can hit. And she's got a tongue, which she will give you such a tongue lashing, which it will break you completely. She has been blessed with that, with that tongue lashing of hers. A couple who had an argument, and because of the argument, they were not speaking to one another. They were just quiet. They were going for a drive, and an argument had come. So they passed a farm where there were animals, dogs, cats, donkeys, all types of animals. So to break the silence, the husband told the wife that this is all your family, isn't it? All these animals. So she said, yes, my in-laws. It is my families, but my in-laws, that means all your family. So Allah has given her such a tongue that you won't be able to match with her. But when she talks, you tolerate it. Don't you also get angry. Don't you also retaliate. Then there is no difference between you and the woman. That is their work, to talk all the time. For one husband-wife who had these problems all the time. So when the wife went to a Mali Saab for a ta'weez. So when she explained, he understood what the problem. That when the husband comes home from work, she starts talking and telling him all bad things. He gets angry, he starts hitting. He takes out his shoe or with his hand, he hits her. So the solution of it is that she mustn't talk. So how to do that? What ta'weez he gave her? A blank piece of paper. And he told her that whenever your husband is time to come home, 5 minutes before whatever, then just before he comes in the house, put the ta'weez between your teeth. If it moves from there, then the effect of the ta'weez will be gone. It won't work. So when is there, she can't talk now. Because the minute she'll talk, then the ta'weez will come out. It won't have its effect. She tried it 2 weeks, it worked. She husband not hitting her, and she's also, she asked him, you've gone so good. He said, you've gone so good. You're not telling me. So she took a big cake for Maulana, that you gave me such a good ta'weez, our problems are solved. He opened it up, he said, he showed her, it's a blank piece of paper. No ta'weez in there. But what is it? The stalking. So women have got that they talk all the time. Man must be able to stomach it, must be able to tolerate it. You make your heart big. Keep your shoulders big, and whoever it may be, maybe your mother-in-law tells you a whole lot of things, then also tolerate it. You're a man, you're supposed to be a man. They have tolerated, and this is not the only one time when she told, now I got tired. 2 times, tell Mort if she tells you. You just tolerate it. Itfa billati hiya ahsan, faidha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawa, ka'annahu waliyun hamim. He will be like, they still have that bimari in them. But outwardly, they'll see, no, yeah, it doesn't work here. And they will be ka. There's a very important preposition here, haraf, ka. Ka'annahu waliyun hamim. He will be like a hamim, a very close friend, but he won't actually be. But he will be ka. So the same way, to make Allah's ibadat, ka'annaka tarahu. أَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ You won't happen. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Rabbi arini, what's it? Rabbi arini anzur ilayk, I want to see you. Allah ta'ala, وَالتَّعْكِيدْ لَن تَرَانِي Yeah, in this world you can't see me, but كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ That you can do. And what is that? Which Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayhi explained, to ظاهر hai, aur laak parde mein hai tu. You are apparent, you are manifest everywhere. That is, you are seeing Allah Ta'ala. And your Qudrat-e Kamila, as we tried to explain yesterday also, that the impossible, there is nothing impossible for Allah. Allah is manifest everywhere, yet He's hidden at the same time. And how is Allah manifest? What all His works that we see. Like yesterday we explained, the sea water, which is at the bottom, not one drop falls out. Whose work? We don't see Allah, but it is Allah's work. The people who are walking on the bottom of the earth, they are all walking upside down actually. But you don't see it that way. Whose work is this? Allah's work. And so this is the ma'rifat of Allah. As you gain more the ma'rifat of Allah and it increases, you will automatically become ka'annaka tarahu. That is, though you are seeing Allah Ta'ala. Everywhere you will see Allah Ta'ala. So that sifat-e-ihsan is possible. It's not difficult. And it is within our reach. And if it was not within our reach, we should not have been made responsible for it also. And a person who reaches this, he has reached his jannat before his jannat has come. Before our physical jannat has come, that person is in jannat in this world who has reached that state. Not only has he reached his jannat, but the greatest ni'mat of jannat he has reached. The greatest ni'mat of jannat is that when all, what ni'mats of jannat? Allahu Akbar. We all have heard, we all have an idea, and to sum it all up, ma la aynun ra'at, which no eye has ever seen. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ No ear has ever heard. وَلَا خَطْرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ No person can even ever dream of dreaming of the ni'mats of Jannah. Where your thoughts will come to an end, where your dreams come to an end, Jannah starts from there. And then what are the ni'mats of Jannah? But all those ni'mats of Jannah, when the Jannatis will meet and see Allah Ta'ala, at that time it won't be as though, there won't be ka'annaka. It won't be as though, actually they will forget Jannat and all the ni'mats of Jannat when they'll see the beauty of Allah. The kindness, the greatness, the magnificence of Allah Ta'ala, they will completely forget the hurul in of Jannat, the food of Jannat, the water sports of Jannat, the pleasures, the shopping of Jannat. Whatever you can think, they will forget all that when they will see Allah Ta'ala. And that ni'mat Allah gives it in this world. In this world already. Another great ni'mat of Allah, which the Sahaba reached in this world, and by which they are known in all the world, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased. That will be also a ni'mat of Jannah. When the people of Jannah will have entered Jannah, Allah Ta'ala will say to them, I am pleased with you and I'll never be upset with you again. And that will give them such great joy that there is no limit. One dua we should also make while we are in this world, that oh Allah, grant me that pleasure of yours after which you don't become upset with me. Otherwise a person, sometimes he, and many of us know, we go through these phases that we have got that feeling, enthusiasm, ibadah, then suddenly we flip and we are completely worse than shaitan also. Shaitan also wonders, am I shaitan or is this shaitan? What actions we get involved in. Sometimes we're so sweet and sometimes our anger knows no limit also. Sometimes what words we speak, how we flower praises and words of kindness on our wives, etc. And other times how we start swearing and how we become like monsters at other times. So Allah give us istiqamah. So we have to ask Allah Ta'ala that you give us that pleasure of yours after which you don't become displeased with us again. Our actions. One poet says to illustrate this, قُرْبْ كِي لَزَّتْ چَكَاكَرْ اے خُدَى Oh Allah, bless me with that closeness of yours, قُرْب. The enjoyment, لَزَّتْ. Give me the enjoyment of the closeness of yours, قُرْبْ كِي لَزَّتْ چَكَاكَرْ اے خُدَى پھر رَنْجْدُورِ مِنَا كَرْ مُبْتِلَى And after that, oh Allah, let me never be again suffering the sorrow of being separated from you. We all know who you love very dearly, how you enjoy the closeness. But when there is now a fight, you are upset, or just a geographical difference, your wife is gone home, you are missing her, now you know how you feel at that time. So Allah Ta'ala, one is you have the closeness, and then, oh Allah, don't let me suffer the sorrow of separation from you again. Any person who got a taste of the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, he was Allah's Rasul. Who can have greater closeness to Allah than his Rasul? Qaba Qawsain. Who can be more closer to Allah Ta'ala? But when one time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot to say, Insha'Allah, wahi got blocked. And that was like Qiyamat for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kuffar, what trouble they were giving, he said, this doesn't mean anything to me. But this separation from you, O Allah, we haven't tasted it, so we don't know what it is. A person who doesn't have electricity and there is a power failure, it makes no difference to him. He doesn't know there is a power failure. But a person who's got electricity and there is a power failure, he can't take that power failure for a few hours, for a few minutes also. What's wrong with the electricity company? Why the light's gone off? What's happening here? He can't take it. So those who have closeness of Allah, they will be able to feel that when Allah is separate. But those who don't have it, they won't even know that we are separated from Allah. So this closeness of Allah, and Allah doesn't, power doesn't get cut off from Allah. Yet there's a problem in our house, in our wiring. In us the problem. When we commit guna, then we get cut off from Allah. Allah's power doesn't fail ever. It is for everyone, for his entire creation, and it is general for all. It is just for us to be able to take. A person who can take that, that person will get. And incidentally, one friend of ours this morning, he saw a dream that I was sitting here on the mimbar, and then he's going to give it to me in writing, took out a purse or something. And then, our friend Ibrahim Rawat Maulana is here. So he came and he started taking out coins from there. Then that person also came and he also asked. So then he said, I gave him also a five cent coin. He asked for 5 cents or something. So I told him the meaning is quite clear. That those, it is the Allah's fazl, which comes normally through the sheikh in this line. It is for everyone. But it is the recipient how everyone is taking. So he asked me, how can I also take more, like Maulana Ibrahim Rawat? I say, you ask Maulana himself, how is he taking? He is taking more, so ask him, how is he taking? So that is, that it is from Allah's side, it is there for everyone. It is on our side. From Allah's side, there is never a power failure. It is something wrong in our wiring, in our house, something. Our trip has fallen down or something, there is a problem with us. Otherwise, from Allah's side, it is general. So Allah Ta'ala's manifests Allah's greatness, Allah's beauty is everywhere. And a person can get that, this ni'mat of Jannat in this world, a person can get already. So that is, and then this person, Allah is pleased with him. So that ni'mat also a person can get in this world of radiyallahu anhum. Now nobody can become radiyallahu anhum. One person wrote to Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, and he said that I saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream. And a person who sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sahabi. So I'm also now a sahabi. And I can write with my name, radiyallahu anhu, that I'm also a sahabi. Maulana was Maulana, Hakimul Ummat. He wrote, he says, yes, you are a sahabi, but you are a dream sahabi, khabi sahabi. You're not a real sahabi. So in your dream you can write radiyallahu anhu. In real life you cannot write radiyallahu anhu. That was who saw Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in real life. You saw him in a dream, so in your dream you can write radiyallahu anhu. So anyway, so we won't become sahaba, but you can reach that stage that Allah is pleased with you. And that greatest ni'mat of Jannat, after which there is no greater ni'mat. That is the greatest when a person will see Allah Ta'ala. And he will meet Allah Ta'ala. By which he will forget all the ni'mats of dunya also. And that is sifat-e-ihsan. And that we can acquire in this world of it. And that is why we have also come one aspect. Why we have come here and what we have to try and develop and what we have to try and acquire is the sifat-e-ihsan. But it starts with ikhlas and then it's a long road. And then we come to ihsan. And then you, as though you see Allah all the time, in everything. In yourself you will see Allah. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ makes of, in dunya's things, his effort is on Allah Ta'ala. Because he knows my rosy, my health, solution to my problems, they aren't by anyone in this world, they are all by Allah Ta'ala. And one of the muraqabas, which our friend Maulana Fuzail asked also, that what must we think when we make zikr? One of them is also that a person makes this muraqabah, that la ilaha illallah laysa laha hijab dun Allah. That la ilaha illallah has got no veil, nothing can block it. It could dun Allah, it goes out of your, hardly out of your tongue, and it reaches the arsh of Allah Ta'ala already. It is there by the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And a poet says, nazar wo hai jo is kaun aur makan se paar ho jave. Look, a real look, not only an ordinary look, but a real look is that look that it goes past the heavens and the earth. Lekin rukh e taaba par pare to bekar ho jave. But when it reaches the arsh of Allah, that's the limit. It can't go further than that. So la ilaha illallah, laysa laha hijab dun Allah. It reaches directly to Allah Ta'ala. And our Shaykh Damat Barakatum has taught us in the zikr that Allahumma ftah aqfal qulubina bi dhikri, which is a dua of the Hadith Sharif. Oh Allah, open the locks of our heart. So this Hadith clearly shows that there are locks on our heart. And not, it's plural, aqfal, not kufal. So it's not one or two locks, but many locks, and what big locks they must be, which are on our heart. And in the same hadith, we have been taught what is the key of these locks also, with the zikr of Allah. By the zikr of Allah, they are the keys, they will open these locks. So your La ilaha illallah has reached the big storeroom, the actual makhzan, the real storeroom. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ. What is the other announcement? About everything is in the heavens. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. There isn't a thing, but its treasures are by us. Everything is by Allah. And this is not difficult to understand. For example, our nearby country, Mozambique, now they are finding diamonds. Zimbabwe, they are finding diamonds. It's not that they were there all the time. They had all the things to source out and find out whether those diamonds are there. You have that aircraft that it flies over a place and it makes out all the minerals which are in that ground. Whether there is gold there, whether there is silver there, whether there is diamonds. And they check in the whole world all the time. It wasn't. When Allah wanted to, He puts it there. Now they say they discovered it now. It's not that they discovered it now. Allah put it there now. So everything, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. It is by Allah Ta'ala. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ. Your rosy, everything is not here on the wheat farms and the banana plantations and that. It is by Allah. And then Allah puts it here. And then you start getting it. So a person who sees this, so that is the big storeroom. So by your zikr, from there now, our one muraqabah, which our Shaykh Damat Barakah Rahmatullah Alayhi has taught us, that from there, make this muraqabah, that there is a column of nur, of light, from Allah's arsh, which is coming directly into my heart. And now those treasures are coming. They are flowing. Now you also, they are flowing. But you take what you want to take also. And what is the greatest thing to take? Allah's ma'rifat. Make this niyat that I'm taking the ma'rifat of Allah. I'm taking the muhabbat of Allah. I'm taking connection with Allah. I'm taking obedience to Allah Ta'ala. I'm taking sifat-e-ihsan. All these things, whatever. Don't take small, small things of this dunya. No matter if you get the whole dunya, it's not even equal to a wing of a mosquito. So don't worry too much about dunya. And when you get akhirat, dunya comes with it. Dunya is a shadow. And a shadow has to move all the time with the asal, with the actual thing. A shadow can't do anything on its own. A shadow is not qaim bi dhatihi. It's not that on its own it is there, the shadow. What shadow it is. When that thing is there, then the shadow is there. And the shadow moves that. You walking, your shadow won't leave you behind. Your shadow won't stay at the back. You've gone 10 meters in front, your shadow is still at the back. As you are walking, your shadow is walking with you. You walk faster, your shadow walks faster. You jump, your shadow jumps. You run, your shadow jumps. Your shadow is with you. So if you get that actual person, then the shadow you get with. So akhirat is the asr. And when you get akhirat, the shadow comes with. And then Allah gives you the shadow without you working for the shadow. And how much you run after the dunya runs further from you. And how much you turn your face from dunya, this is a hard fact. So much the dunya runs after you now. As long as you turn towards dunya and you run after dunya, dunya runs away from you. And you'll be running further and further, you'll be working harder. You'll make your wife work, you'll make your daughter work chasing this dunya all the time. And you'll work 2 shifts and you'll do lot of this business and that business, you'll be so busy. But you turn to akhirat, to Allah Ta'ala, now the whole thing turns around completely. And now dunya will chase you. And dunya will come and fall at your feet, zaleel hokar. It will become humiliated and present itself to you. And there are more than enough instances. It's not our subject for now, of the Sahaba, of the Awliya, of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, of our recent buzurgs of now, presently, how when they don't chase dunya, how dunya falls at their feet. And as long as you chase dunya, dunya runs from you. So when you make your akhirat your object, then these things come to you. So when you get Allah, so don't ask for the small things of this dunya. And a mosquito hasn't got 2 wings. A mosquito has got 6 wings. And this whole dunya is not equal to 1 wing of a mosquito. And so if we just briefly to get to let us understand this point, the whole world, وَمَا فِيهَا الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا لَا تَعْدِلُ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضَ, it's not equal to one wing of a mosquito. So this whole world, what we know, 3/4, 70%, and almost everything, Allah's nizam is this, which scientists have discovered now, almost everything has got 70% water in it. The world also 70%, your body also 70%. Any food also you eat has got, the food, the dua, it is advisable, Hakim say, it is not anywhere in the hadith, as to the best of my knowledge, that you shouldn't have water to drink while eating. But the Hakim say this. So I asked Hakim Yusuf, my Hakim, rahmatullah alayh, that the dua is alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana. So that means you drink water also. So he told, whatever you are eating, solids have got 70% water in it. So there is water in all those things. So water is everything. So anyway, nobody lives on the seas. All the people live on land. So 70% of that one wing of a mosquito, you take it out already. Now 30% more or less of one wing of a mosquito is left. And in the 30%, there are almost the 7 continents of the world. So take out 6 continents. Now how many percent of the wing of a mosquito is left? In that one continent, we are in Africa at the moment. Africa has got just over 50 countries. So take out 49 countries. Now what is left of the wing of a mosquito? And in Africa, in South Africa, this one country, there are about 9 provinces. So take out the 8 provinces, now what is left of the wing of a mosquito? In this one province, Gauteng, there are so many cities, the main cities, Johannesburg, Pretoria. Take out all the others, a small Krugersdorp is left now. Now what is left of the wing of a mosquito? Krugersdorp has got so many suburbs. Take out all the suburbs, now what is left? And this one suburb of Azadville has got so many streets. Take out all the other streets, the street which we are on now, Bagh Street. So this one street. And in the street, there are so many other houses. One, the property you are in, the place you are in. What is that? In that you, one individual. What are you? What is your house? What is your, you got 10 mansions, you got 20 filling stations, you got 200 blocks of flats. You hardly got a millionth of a billionth of a trillionth of a wing of a mosquito. So don't take this from Allah. Don't make your mind, don't be so small that you ask something so small. Ask something big. Hatim Tai, they were famous for their generosity in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if somebody, when there was a wedding and somebody hired utensils from them, they agreed, we'll send the utensils for you. And the days were coming close and the utensils are not being delivered. They say, don't worry, you carry on with all your other preparation. And when finally they send, not utensils, empty, full with food they used to send. The generosity was unheard of till today. How much? So when you ask Allah, who gives so much, they don't take small little things from Allah. Take the real things, Allah's marifat, Allah's those are the real things to take from Allah. So that is one muraqabah. That when we make zikr, that we are now, it's flowing into the, and it's coming into the small warehouse. From the big warehouse, the original warehouse, it's coming in my small warehouse. And from here also to take it out, always be in the zikr of Allah. كَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلَّ أَحْيَانِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always should be remembering Allah. Bismillah. All inshaAllah. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. These are the things by which the treasures from the heart start coming out. كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَىٰ الْفِطْرَةِ. Every child is born with this treasure of La ilaha illallah. But it's locked in the heart. If he's born in a Jew's house, it doesn't open up. Is born in a Christian Hindu's house, it doesn't open up. Muslim's house, adhan in the right ear. Takbir in the left ear. Now you are opening up there. Now with the child, little bit, you're teaching him to say Allah. Whatever, please, you want to hear the first word. The day you hear Allah from his tongue, from your little child, how happy you get. And then the next after that, you want him to read some ayahs. La ilaha illallah. Qul huwallahu ahad. What you don't realize, you are opening the locks of his heart. And all this, now you let him read whole Quran Sharif Nazara. You send him to Maktab, how important. All that is opening up the locks of the heart. Now those treasures which are there, they are coming out. That Jewish child, Christian child, Hindu's child, it didn't open. And the biggest key to this is La ilaha illallah. Of all Allah's zikr, you know about geology, about the earth, about the skies, the stars, about the doctors, what they know about the body. Oh, so much they know. But until it isn't with sohbat, and correct your mind is focused in the right way, that marifat takes them to the disobedience and to disbelieve in Allah. The scientists, though they study the body and what miracles they witness all the time. Astronomers, they study the stars and all the heavenly objects and how they are working. They will tell us at what speeds they are moving, how they are moving, and they don't make accidents with one another in spite of their heavy speed. But in spite of telling us, but they won't benefit. It comes in the hadith that says, "Rubba faqih." Sometimes a faqih is such that he from his own faqahat, he didn't benefit. How much the next person, his students benefit? They benefit even more. So these people, though they have all this, a doctor, how much he will know about the human body, but he doesn't take him closer. So sohbat of Ahlullah, who will just, like on your computer you are working, do you work on something? I was just making one payment to one bank to another bank, and I didn't change the bank's name, and it's just not going through. Because you haven't got the right bank, that account, bank account is not agreeing with this bank which you have, the wrong bank you have got. Now how that, now the minute just you click the right thing, it's done, immediately your work is done. So the Ahlullah will let click you towards Allah Ta'ala. Then even you have a little bit of this knowledge, not like the big astronomers and scientists and doctors, but you'll click and you'll join with Allah. So anyway, that is, so Allah is everywhere. So to get Allah, that is also one of our objects, that we reach ikhlas also, and ikhlas also comes with ihsan. The minute you have recognized Allah, when you know this is my boss, and somebody else give you a job, you'll say, no, I'm sorry, I'm working for this boss. I can't do your work now. If I get some free time, I'll try and come and help you. But I'm on duty now. I have to work for my boss. The minute we know Allah, you won't work for your ego. You won't work for anybody else. You're working for Allah. Automatically, ikhlas will be there. You won't have to work for ikhlas. Ikhlas will come to you. The minute you have found Allah, you won't have to give up guna. Guna will leave you. When you know Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Rabbi Ahsana Mathwai. My Allah is so kind to me. He loves me so much. What hasn't He done for me? He is the one who gave me my eyes, my brains, my food He gives. He makes the food get digested. If the food, you have the best food, but the food goes and gets stuck in your throat. One fish bone, not even the food you are eating, fish. And if one bone gets stuck, finish. Now you are looking forward to that meal. That I'm going to enjoy that meal, and I'm hungry also. And you know my friends, everyone, they don't live for one another. Everyone eats and takes his full share, but one bone got stuck, you can't do anything. You can just see, and you can see them eating stuff, you can't do anything. Who is it that makes your food get digested? And not only a bone, the food can get digested in your whole food pipe anywhere. It can go in your stomach and cause you, suddenly now you want to go toilet. You'll have to leave all that food and you'll have to run to the toilet. And the toilet, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, is that jail for which there is no bail. You can't pay any bail. That you just go for my sake. Tell your wife, I don't feel like going. You just go to the toilet for my sake. And you can't pay any, bail money. Yeah. You can't send somebody else on your behalf. No matter who you are, you're such a big buzurg, and you don't waste 1 minute of your life, 1 second also. But when the time to toilet, you'll have to go. And you'll have to sit there. And you'll have to sit like a stupid fool there. Doing nothing. Just, you know that I'm such a person, I don't waste time. I make all my time valuable. But you got no choice. So who is there? Whose system? It is Allah. So in everything a person can see Allah. So anyway, our intention must be to please Allah. That is our intention. And everything we do, it must be to please Allah. That we have come here, what is our next intention? one is very important, our islah. Many of us also ask that so many years have passed, I'm making zikr also or whatever, or even how many are not making zikr, but they say that I became bayat so many years ago, but I haven't found Allah. Allah is not just you become bayat and you bayat hoke bayat jaate hai. Those who become bayat and they sit, they don't do anything. We ask ourselves, our zikr daily, our five times namaz, is that in order first of all? Are we making even our five times namaz? Are we making it with jamaat? What's the condition of our namaz? Then we are dreaming of getting the love of Allah. It's not just that you became bayat and you just abracadabra, some magic happens. You just gave your hand and now you found Allah. This is now, your work has started now. When you become bayat, now you are given ma'amulat, your five times namaz, your everyday Quran Sharif tilawat, your eyes, are they under order? Your tongue, is it under order? How you swearing? What terrible language you use? Now, Allah doesn't come into our heart like that. Allah Ta'ala, that a person who has got all this anger in him, terrible vulgar language that he uses, how will Allah come into our heart like that? One time, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu became angry with one of his slaves, and he said some harsh words and rough, hard words and loudly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Siddiq and La'an and Siddiq, Hazrat Abu Bakr was Siddiq, La'an and Siddiq together, impossible, it cannot happen. You can't be Siddiq also and you're using this word. That if you're La'an and you are making lanat, it can't happen. And so the two things can't go together. They are two opposite things. And so we have to see, correct ourselves, then we will find Allah. So our niyat is very important, why we have come here. And this niyat is not only one time. How many of us? Also a very important thing is, when we listening to any bayan, reading a kitab also, listening to a cassette, to anything, and something is told in there to do, do it at that moment. Don't think that I will do it. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa sami'na wa ata'na. They listen and they obey that time. Not afterwards, after 1 hour they went and make amal. Immediately. Then the munafiqeen wa sami'na wa asayna. Immediately they disobeyed. They say, we're hearing us. This is all right, man. He doesn't know what he's talking, na'uzubillah. We know what our, many of us got that attitude. What Maulana knows our problems? Where he's in business? Where he's got such a good wife? He doesn't know what wife I got. Who I got, he doesn't know what my wife. What he's talking about, the solutions? This doesn't work here. So if we got that attitude, sami'na wa asayna, that you can speak what you want to, you don't know what we going through, man. Your family, all they observe, but our family, how modern they are. They don't listen. What you know what we're going through? These are all shaitani whisperings. Don't think that anywhere anything fell from there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who gave us this deen, but from where he came, what idol worship there was, what kufr there was, he came out of all that. He wasn't at all involved in it. But that was the whole mahal and environment. He came out of that and gave us today what a pure deen. So don't say anyone, whoever buzurgs they are not, they didn't find anything ready made. They also have to make all their mujahada. They have to go through many things. Then they came today where Allah in His kindness blessed them with these things. So what shaitan whispers, that these people don't know what we going through. At work, what woman we have to work with, what they know about all this. For them to say you must guard your gazes is very easy, but let them come down. These are shaitani whispering. And so the right, and we are only sami'na. We only hear, not we say we're going to make amal, nor do we say that we're not going to make amal. We just hear. But a person who is sami'na wa ta'na, at that time you hear about toba, make toba now, immediately. You hear now about niyat. Don't think I'll make niyat, or I'm just thinking about, make your niyat now in your heart. And you don't have to divert your attention by making that niyat. You can make your niyat now. So our niyat here is, first, basically, all niyat must be pleasure of Allah. Then here, our islah, that we correct our lives. And if we don't make a niyat, any amal, any action without a niyat is like a dead body. Without a soul. So if we have come here no niyat, and still we're not making any niyat, then we're like dead bodies here. We won't benefit. But if a person got niyat in him, and really if we make this niyat of our Islam, then that person will benefit not from one word that is said. Allah has given brains to everyone, and according to a person's brains, he will take out 10 good lessons from there. Somebody else can take out 20 good lessons from there, from the one thing that has been said, that is Quran Sharif. It is one ayat, but Allahu Akbar, Imam Muhammad. One night, Masail, Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayh, how many Masail he took out when he ate the Mubarak food of Imam Muhammad. And one night that he spent there, he didn't have to make wuzu for Fajr. Whole night he stayed awake. And hundreds of Masail he made istimbat, he took out from one ayat. And we read ayats and ayats and ghaflat. Nothing happens to us whatsoever. So that is the capacity within a person. So if we make our niyat, so our niyat is our islah also, from this our islah. And in islah, we start with ikhlas, and we have to go right to sifat-e-ihsan. So make that our niyat here. Where ibadat we will do, food we will eat, everything we will do. As per the main niyat, all the time my worry, my islah is the biggest worry. And nisbat with Allah, ta'alluq with Allah, sifat-e-ihsan. And then niyat in everything, there are so many niyats that we can make. For example, Ramadan is a month of Quran Sharif. So there are so many niyats that we can make. When ask ourselves, when we sit with the Quran, do we even make one niyat? We just take out the Quran, we start reading. But you make niyat, it's Allah's hukam to read. Utlu ma uhiya. That وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ another ayat, that Allah وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنِ, that Allah has commanded to make tilawat. So I'm fulfilling Allah's command. It's His ibadat. I'm doing it as an ibadat. Allah will reward me on this. And for every naked, one person, he asked me, he says that for Durood Sharif there is so much sawab, but for Quran Sharif there isn't so much sawab. So I told him, for Quran, for every letter, without wuzu is 10 sawab. With wuzu is much more sawab. The sawabs on Quran Sharif tilawat, we cannot imagine. So for, and that also, imanan wa ihtisaba, that Allah will give me my reward for reading. Make niyat for hidayat. There is no greater kitab, no greater thing for hidayat than the Quran Sharif. Make niyat for qurb ilallah, to get closeness to Allah Ta'ala. This is a thing, I'll just mention it, but don't delve in it, it's not for us at all. That who is more greater, the Quran Sharif or Rasul-e-Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Who has a higher position by Allah? This is not for us to make these decisions, we are small fries. But just to understand what the position of the Quran Sharif is, and what the position of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who is more, who Allah loves more, the Quran or His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? There is lot of dalail, but this is not for our consumption. What is for our consumption? To realize Quran is such a great kitab. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is such a great being by Allah Ta'ala. So the Quran, it is the hidayat to get from the Quran. But we don't make this niyyah. To get barakat from the Quran, that is also, rahmat from the Quran is also, and to get closeness to Allah Ta'ala. And then, whoever it is, if it is a hafiz, to learn, maintain our door, you read for that. A person who's not a hafiz, just nazra, for he also must make this niyat that my Quran remains in order. Otherwise, if a person doesn't read Quran for a long time, he forgets the huruf of the Quran. How many people who learned Quran Sharif when they were small, they didn't keep any contact, schooling, high school, university, etc. Never read Quran, they forgot the Quran Sharif. So it happens like that. A qari, he also, if he doesn't keep his practice up, he will also, it will become rusty, his Quran. So make that niyat also. So for everything, coming to the masjid, a person can make up to 15 niyats. Imran asked me, I have to forward this to him, how many times we spoke, has anyone taken out the 15 niyats which Mullah Ali, which Sahib-e-Mazhari has written? Anyone took it out? Nobody took it out. This is the work of the ulama. So if one person can do this and then present it, put it onto the website, that there are 15 niyats we can make when we come to the masjid. We'll get 15 amal sawab doing one niyat, but we don't. For everything we do, so niyat is very important. The first and foremost thing for us to benefit is niyat, intention. And then try and develop this niyat as much as we can. Now instead of talking of today, there are no savories, or the samosas are not enough, or they too much, or they not right or something, ask one another about this, that what niyat. See, and ad-deenu ala qadri al-uqul. How much brains a person got, so much there is deen in a person. So we can take out and make more and more niyats. The more you make, the more your reward by Allah Ta'ala. And buzurgani deen who have reached their high, high lofty stages, is not only by amal, more than that, the easiest way is by niyat. Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. Your niyat is better than your amal. Where you cannot never reach with amal, with niyat you can go far past that also. So niyat is one, the first important thing, that in order for us to benefit, to make niyat, and this subject can never be fully exhausted also, but inshallah, discuss it amongst yourself and see how many niyats we can make, and the main thing is sincerity for Allah's pleasure. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.